your Son, and we come in his name, Jesus. So grateful, Lord, for him. So thankful for your everything given to us in Jesus. Thank you for the Lamb. Thank you, Lord, that he finished it. Thank you, Lord, that the victory has been won. Lord, thank you for the encouragement of your truth. Lord, thank you for your love that changes us. Thank you for the knowledge of your love that inspires and encourages us. And thank you for your love that carries us. And Lord, thank you that you'll never let us go. You'll in no wise cast us out. That, Lord, you're so thankful as we sit at the table that you have prepared. Thank you, Father, as you have waited so patiently for your Son to return. Father, thank you again for this love so immense, so magnificent, so mighty, and so personal. Thank you that you gave it all in one, in your precious Son, Jesus. We love him so. We love him, because he first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'd open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 9. That's 2 Samuel chapter 9. And we'll have the thought of the Lord in restoration today. 2 Samuel 9. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and I will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king said to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, and he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Now praise the Lord. Here we have in our precious sweet brother David, the testimony so magnificent of our Savior to us. We have to think here, this was the grandson of Saul, who was the greatest enemy of David. And this is 16 years after Saul and Jonathan, all of them were slaughtered. This is 16 years later. And immediately after Saul was killed and Jonathan. David was encouraged in heart with such a precious song. Immediately after this enemy of enemies to David, he said, "Oh, how lovely is Saul, and how lovely is Jonathan, and how they were as swift as eagle and as mighty as lions." The love that poured out into his heart, and it didn't cease. 16 years after they were slaughtered, all that is on David's heart, "Is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I can show kindness?" And I want you to think about that, because that's exactly the place that God is always looking to just pour forth such mercy and such grace, is amongst those that would be even his greatest enemy. I think about how he chose Saul. And I'm talking about the Saul, your name shall now be Paul. He was the chief of sinner. He chose the dirtiest of the dirty to show the magnificence of his grace. And yet time and time again, he was revealing his heart in those that would love him. And David, after his greatest enemy was defeated, instead of parading around in victory, all he could think about was mercy and kindness because of love. All he wanted to do was to restore. And that's how Jesus is. And that's what his blood does always. It cries out for mercy. It cries out for mercy in your life. It cries out to you to look to the blood of the Lamb. Praise God for that wonderful mercy. Amen. I pray he's been so mighty. I don't pick these scriptures out. But this is where he's at. This is where he wants our eyes focused. This is where, as brother sang of the cherubim, these are the ones that will win Christ Jesus, his bridegroom, that are gazing only upon the mercy of the Lord. There's something about that that transforms the sons of God that nothing else will do. There's something about that mercy and grace by the word of his grace that strengthens a life, that causes a life to rise up, but yet not in pride, but in thanksgiving and humility to him. And says, "Oh, how great thou art. How I am but nothing, but the mercy and the grace of God is so mighty. And it causes me to rise up as a mighty man of God. It enlarges my steps. It gives me confidence and boldness beyond. But always in the smallness of who I am and the magnificence of who he is." That's the strength of God. That's the mightiness of our Lord. And that is a fellowship, praise God, that is only known in its heights of the cherubim in the Holy of Holies. Shut apart the presence of God and his wife, even the priests, as it got all hot and heated in there. That smoke rose up and they had to get out of there. That only the ark and the cherubim remained. Now, you see, when we really want restoration with God, I appreciate hearts that are broken. And I always want to have a broken heart. And I'm so thankful to God he's given me a heart when I fail. And even when I know I'm failing, I'm sad. Even when I know I'm going away I shouldn't, by the grace of God, there's conviction. I thank the Lord for that. But before there would ever even be, "Lord, I repent, I'm sorry," we must first lay hold of the heart of our Savior. And first lay hold of the one thing that he is looking for, the one thing he desires, the one thing that is the most beautiful thing to him, and that's his mercy. "Come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy." Amen. I didn't come boldly in there and I repent. We'll get to that, Lord. You'll cause that to happen. It's just your mercy. Lord, this is just who you are. I'm so thankful as I come boldly into that throne room. Hallelujah. I praise you for your mercy. Now, notice who in this type gets the mercy. It's the wounded, lame son. Notice again who gets the mercy. It's the wounded, lame son. Oh, how perfect and how complete. Brothers and sisters, it's the weak one. It's the one who has no strength. It's the one whose pedigree and heritage is the enemy of God in a sense. Let's be honest. Let's go back to where it was, where man will look to. Oh, you couldn't be any good. You came from that tree. That's your line. Come on. He's looking for the one who even has to be carried around. And God says, that's my man. That's the one I can show all of my mercy and grace to. That's the one not only who I'm going to show it to, that's the one that's going to see it. That's the one that's going to walk in it. That's the one that's going to rejoice in it. And how beautiful this is, brothers and sisters, the fellowship. He was given to eat at the king's table continually for the rest of his days. And think about this once again. This was the castaway. This was the forgotten. This was the one on the outskirts of everything. This was the lame one. This was the one that even came to him. He said, such a dead dog as I am. Amen. Praise God. I thought I would have heard a bunch of shouts. That there would have been a lot of that could identify with this guy to say, praise God for this grace and mercy. What a dead dog I am. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. You want to get somewhere with God? He must increase and you must decrease. Now, but I'll tell you what, it even gets better. So many times in Scripture we see such great healings. We see in Scripture such great miracles. We see in Scripture, as nothing's hard for God, He causes the lame to walk. He causes the blind to see. But we see in this precious Scripture, we don't see any miracle of that kind. Matter of fact, in verse 13, the very last thing it says of in our text, and was lame on both his feet. He stayed that way. But that was the far better. Mephibosheth, by remaining completely weak, completely lame, that he had no way to care for himself, he remained continually as his son at the king's table. Oh my. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. I know at one time or another, every life here has had this experience. Amen. Amen. And it's a mighty time. I'm talking about the experience of such enormous beauty, such magnificent comforting mercy that saves us with such great salvation. I'm talking about a time or times when you, when I should have been completely cast off. When I have done something and been in something where I should have been just completely struck dead. That God should have nothing to do with me but God. But God. And what a treasure time it was. What an incredible moment of really getting a vision of His mercy and grace. That when He said, I'll in no wise cast you out, He didn't cast you out. When you got to your complaining and your bitterness, and truly in your just your downright defiance of God, and maybe it went on for years, that He never gave up, that He stood faithful, that He completely always had the readied feast, that He had the coat in His hand, that He had the ring, that everybody in the palace was waiting for the moment of that victory, of that rejoicing and celebration, when the son would come home. Huh? You know that. You would not be in this meeting if you didn't know that time. and were thankful for that time and rejoiced in that time and received that grace and mercy and that touch of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Honey, I just absolutely adore you and I love you. And I want you to wake up to this. I just want this fellowship. I don't want anything from you but you. I don't want you to do anything that you think you need to do, but just to be with me, to be and occupy with me, to be in a fellowship with me, to let me do everything for you. And I'm talking about at that time again, when you failed so miserably, when you had gone in your way so adamantly, when you were stiff-necked, when you weren't going to listen, when you were bitter, ugly, and absolutely against even the things of God, even hurt other people, maybe even encouraged other people not to go on with God, but God's love for you. Are we there? Are we there? Now, then why, when we have seen that, rejoiced in that, and treasured that, why don't we remain at that place? Why don't we fellowship and not depart from that place? Why are we oftentimes so quickly removed? And I'm talking about that trial ends and so soon there's no more fellowship. And I'm telling you, so soon, not even any more remembrance of such great mercy and such grace and such love. This is personal to this guy. Over and over and over in my life, he'd done such mighty things. He graced me in such incredible ways. And all with his truth. But then the manifold blessings from his truth. To have people around me that love the Lord. That when I was going a certain way, he stopped it. He stopped it. He turned my life. He gave me ones and friends. He gave me a wife that loved the Lord. He gave me parents that loved God. He gave me brethren that loved God. He put me in a place over all that preaches the whole counsel of God. And all I could do was say, thanks be to God. And you know why thanks be to God? Because in his faithfulness, he lets me know there's something missing. He lets me know in this heart there's something lacking. He lets me know, honey, we need a restoration of fellowship. And praise be to God, he lets us know so easily and quickly and how the only way it's going to happen. Just return to the table. Just return to the King's table. Come on now. Returning to the King's table, and it's only going to happen with the same way we got there. That precious contrite spirit. That wonderful broken heart. And praise be to God, complete weakness. A longing and a yearning to just lay hold and be strengthened with the beauty of his mercy and grace. I'm going to tell you something, Christian. If you haven't ever had that vision of the beauty of life is just to lay hold of his mercy and grace, ask him right now. Because you will miss it. Because that's the beauty of everything. It's truly, isn't it? Just to praise him for his love to you. Just to praise him for his goodness to you. Just to praise him for your life. And I'm talking about, again, everything about your life. How he circled you out so perfectly. I'm looking at testimony after testimony after testimony. From every walk of life in here. From every hurt and every anger and every bitterness and every downsetting. And I'm looking at uprisings and I'm looking at all of these different things. But God so perfectly constructed your life in his faithfulness. Oh, honey, I've got something for you. There's a feasting. There's a fellowship. There's the divine meat of my word that I have laid out for you to come and feast. Oh, praise God. Now, I testified to you this past year, truly, at least I believe, because I believe it only has to get better with the Lord. So even my trials got to get better with the Lord. How about you? Well, I'm going to tell you something. I had the most wonderful trial. So mighty that this trial, in its grace and mercy, it not only forced me to my knees, it forced me to remain on my face. Oh, yes, it did. Yes, it did. Everything he had ever stored up in this life, it had to come forth. It did. It had to just sink down, go down, be still, and remain on my face. And it wasn't just for a time, but I am telling you, literally, day upon day and night upon night, for month after month, tears of sorrow over and over changed to tears of joy. Over and over. I love that story. I love that, don't you? Praise God. I'm so thankful that he shows me that I need him. I'm so thankful that, yes, I rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice to encourage myself in the Lord. But you know what? Then squeaks out a tear of sorrow. And then another one follows. And oh my goodness, before long, I'm drowning myself in my pillow. But then, praise God, the mighty and the mercy of the Lord changes those tears of sorrow. But oh honey, let's count your blessings. Let's count that you've been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Let me get my spirit out here and start to minister to you the things of the Word. Let me tell you about your promises, not just mine, but they're ours, honey, which my promises are yea and amen, that I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that you just call upon the name of the Lord, and praise be to God, honey, it shall be done unto you. Oh my goodness, all those cries of pain became shouts of victory time and time again. It was the greatest of fellowship. It was the mightiest of times. I could see the Lord doing these things, calling those things which be not as though they were. They were done. It was finished. That victory, praise God, had been made. I thank the Lord that I was more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. Just walking through that, praising him in it, and saying, oh yes, his brother sang here today. Oh Lord, I praise you for your blessed holiness. Separated unto him, praising him for that holiness. I mean, that's way out of here faith. Matter of fact, the Word of God calls it the most holy faith, the most set apart. You even get out of the assembly faith. It's way out of the camp faith. It's that faith that nobody even wants to be around or can be around because it's only meant for two. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Through all those tears and all of those cries and all of those joys and all of that victory, an anointing came over my life. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. It's an anointing by the grace of God that's remaining today. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, praise the Lord. And it's an anointing that could have never been there without that. It was something that could have never been received or taken of the Lord. It would have never been exercised. He showed me his truth for all those years. But oh my, he was going to lead me in that. He was going to reveal it. He was going to show himself faithful in all the truth that I had heard. Amen. He had to take me into that battle, praise God. And I'll tell you what, as a sister reminded me so sweetly this past week, she just sent me a little verse, said, oh, remember when Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you? She was saying that to Naomi. Entreat me not to leave you. Don't encourage me to get away from you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. And I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. By the grace of God, I'm not moving. I'm not. It's too good. It's been too wonderful. And I'm thankful to God beyond anything, anything. It was sweet to hear my wife ask me what this did for me. I couldn't tell you what it did for me. I really couldn't. But I'm brand new. What did it do for me? It gave me a new song. What did it do for me? It allowed him to give an utterance, praise God, that I had never known before. What did it do for me? It gave me fellowship and longing. It brought me to a place of joy. It brought me to a fellowship as a Daniel. That it was morning, noon, and night. And praise be to God, I still look forward to every one of those dinner dates throughout the day. It's wonderful. Not again, when the Lord has me to go study and shuts me up to give me what the Spirit would give for these services and the studies. Oh, it's for us. It's for me. I get that. But then there's even more time alone. And I got that time. Because that time was always there, but he moved me into that fellowship. What's changed? What did it bring to you? Oh, my. I don't think some of them things are even worthy to be uttered. All I can tell you is there's an anointing. And I'm soaring. There's a confidence. There's a boldness. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters. In his mercy and his grace, the power of his might, the mighty arm of God, that his arm isn't shortened, that it can't reach anything, that there is nothing that man can do unto me, that it's the Lord thy God that fights for me, that I know that he's for me, that when I wake up in the morning and my household covered with the blood of the Lamb, praise God, I'm thankful I'm waking up at a battle again. And you know what? He's for us. He's for us. The Lord is for us. Well, how do you know he's for you? Because he loves me. How can you say that? Because of his mercy and grace. How could I not praise him for that? How could I not thank him for that? The enemy's just going to chirp at you. He's just going to tell you, oh, but you did this, and your heart's this way, and you were looking at that, and you were caught up into that, and you thought, let me tell you something. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I'll tell you, I know it, that even those things that might come out of this fella sometimes, that's not Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's not who I am in Christ. It's not. That's not the truth. What you gonna believe? I was a dead dog. But praise be to God, this dead dog is a son. And I eat at the king's table continually. How about you, huh? How about you, huh? Let's not leave that place. Get back there. Hallelujah. Oh, he's faithful and he'll afflict you. In his faithfulness, he'll afflict you. And it's a sweet thing. Don't get me wrong. You need it. But I'll tell you what. Even get a double portion. Just get back there. Say, Lord, I know that heart. I know that wound. I know that place. Don't wait for him to have to bring the trial. Don't wait for him to have to bring the trial. He's going to bring them because it pleases him. But you know what? Mature sons of God, go. Don't wait no longer. Get back there. That place of restoration, get back there. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you all the glory. We're just, again, in awe of your love and your mercy and your grace. The simplicity that you must increase and I must decrease. Lord, help me to have a heart that just wants to praise you. And Lord, in every precious trial that's going on right now in every life here, let them know, Lord, that was specifically, specially, before a star was ever set in heaven, you said, I saw that for you. I saw that need for your life to bring you to this place at my table, son, for that fellowship continually, for that intimacy to know my son, to know him in the height, the depth, the length, the breadth, the width of that precious love wherewith we are loved. We thank you so much, Father, for the great love of Jesus. And in his name, we give him all the praise, now and forever. Amen. Praise the Lord.